Welcome to Cool Kids Cook with Kid Chef Eliana. Get ready to explore the foodie world with one of the youngest published cookbook authors. We'll share tips, techniques, recipes, and speak to some of the world's top chefs. Now, here's your host, Chef Eliana.
Welcome to the program, Cool Kids Cook, on the Voice America Kids Network. I'm Kid Chef Eliana, a cookbook author, foodie, and your show host. Here's what's happening with me. This past week, my friend Caroline spent the night and I took her to a restaurant for her first taste of sushi. Hear more about it later. Over the weekend, I had a quiz bowl competition. My school competed against other schools. Stay tuned for the results. That same day, my mom, my dad, and I went to a beautiful outdoor garden wedding in Denham Springs, Louisiana. Hear about our funny adventure later. My mom and I went to a book event at Octavia Books for New York Times bestselling author DJ McHale. He's the author of the Pendragon and Silo series. I'll tell you all about it in a bit. On April 8th, I have the Best Chefs of Louisiana event. I'm preparing my shrimp etouffee for about 300 people. I'll also find out if I won the award for Best Up-and-Coming Chef in Louisiana. Here's hoping. I just had the most amazing experience at Dinner Lab. I can't wait to tell you all about it. Now, it's time for our interview with our special guest, Brian Bordanik and Paco Robert of Dinner Lab. Dinner Lab is a membership-based social dining experiment that unites undiscovered chefs with adventurous diners who are looking for something different from the traditional restaurant experience. Their events bring together a group of interesting strangers around a common table to share cuisine crafted by up-and-coming chefs from all over the country. They don't dictate what our chefs cook, but what the chefs cook, but instead give them a platform to tell a story through their menus. Recipes that speak to their background or heritage, ingredients they are passionate about, or completely new dishes they've been experimenting with on days away from the restaurant. Whether it happens on the roof of an abandoned building, the floor of a paper mill, or inside a motorcycle dealership, they believe that good people, good food, and good drink are the only elements necessary for a memorable meal. Mr. Brian and Mr. Paco, I'm super excited to have you on the show. Welcome to Cool Kids Cook.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Well, pop-up restaurants are all the rage now. Dinner Lab fuses the concept of a pop-up restaurant with a dining club. How did you come up with the concept, Mr. Brian?
Yeah, the idea was actually pretty simple, and what we were trying to do was figure out a way to have a business that could support employees, and the only way to do that was to basically have a membership level where we charged people in advance for access to our calendar. So it was sort of out of necessity more than anything else.
Awesome. Yeah, well, I love, you know, the Dinner Lab. I just went to one last night, and it was amazing. I'd never been to one before, so it was a whole new experience, and I loved it. I mean, I would definitely go again. It was amazing. I mean, I got to talk to all the chefs. You got to make new friends. We were sitting with all new people. We got to talk to them. The food was great, and I just loved the space, too. We were just in a warehouse. We were like, this is where we're eating dinner. We went inside. This is like, oh, my gosh, this is so cool.
I hear they put you to work, too.
Yes, they did put me to work. I had so much fun, though. It wasn't really like work. Now, I love how the participating chefs are free to come up with their own menus and dining concept. Mr. Paco, how do you connect with these amazing chefs?
Well, initially, when we get to the city, we start reaching out to our local network. You know, I've worked in a lot of restaurants, and the people who we employ, you know, in the kitchen, dig into their network. And then as we get more well-known in that city, actually it kind of turns the other way around, and chefs actually start coming to us because they hear from all the other chefs of what a neat experience it is for them to get to do a menu that they've been wanting to test out and get out of their regular kitchen habits and into a place where they can do what they would cook for their friends and family or for something that they would one day put on a menu in the restaurant.
Right. They get to just create their own thing and experiment, and you know, they don't have to do the same thing that they would do at a restaurant. They can just do something totally new and different, and you know, a lot of times it turns out great. And you also get the feedback cards at the dinner lab, where you rate the taste, the creativity, and the drinks that it's paired with, and if you want it in a restaurant or not. So that's really cool, and they get that feedback and say, well, these people like the dish, or maybe they critique the dish and say, oh, it could have used a little more of this or that.
Yeah, correct. You know, that, you know, and when you're cooking for your friends and family, or, you know, usually people in your network at home, and they don't really give you full amount of feedback. They always say, oh, this is great, where in the back of their mind it could be pretty terrible.
Right.
Here, you know, they have 120, you know, minimum undivided attention of, you know, a wide range of people that really give them, you know, fully fleshed out feedback. So it's great for them to, if they are going to open up a restaurant, which many of the chefs that we work with do aspire to do, you know, really gives them that feedback that they need to use to go back to the drawing board if needed.
Right, exactly. And then people get to learn about these new chefs and say, wow, I got to meet this chef, and, you know, or talk to them or taste their food. And that's really cool too. Now,
correct.
Yes. And each dinner lab is also in a different location. So it might be inside a warehouse, an abandoned building, or on top of the roof. How do you scout these cool locations, Mr. Brian?
The process is actually pretty difficult. And what we do is we rely on sort of local people on the ground to really go in and look for really interesting spaces. So that involves getting to know a city a little bit, you know, getting to know a city really, really well. So there are a couple things that we will look for, you know, at a very fundamental view. We'll look for things like anyone that has declared bankruptcy in the last 6 months, or anybody that's applied for a building permit, or things like that. But really, it's really old school. Our managers will walk down city blocks, they'll look for interesting buildings, and then they'll kind of go on a discovery process of trying to figure out who owns the building, and then trying to convince them to let us host a dinner party for 120 to 150 people in it.
Wow, that's really, really cool. And they're always in such cool places. Like the one that I went to was inside a warehouse that actually does sculptures and things for the Mardi Gras floats. So it had all kinds of artwork all around the building. It was really fun and colorful, and I love that.
Yeah, we're very fortunate that a lot of the people that work for us are a lot cooler than Paco and myself. So they tend to find the really awesome location.
Yeah, well, I'm glad that they find these awesome locations. I love them. Now, Dinner Lab started in New Orleans, but now has locations across the country. In many cities, there's a waiting list. How do you account for the popularity of Dinner Lab, Mr. Paco?
I would say it's just a little different than what you can find out there. The fact that you can really have the opportunity to go to an event that is cooked by a chef that's really doesn't have a restaurant, or in a location that's new, it's something that really entices people. You know, in each city, we host about 2 events a week, and so the supply is somewhat limited. So the events fill up pretty quickly. So it's just a very interesting concept, and the fact that we're constantly changing what we are cooking makes it even more exciting. So I guess it's a little combination of both.
Right, I love that, and you have them all, you know, all across the country, so people in different cities can go to a dinner lab and experience different chefs, so that's great.
Correct, yeah, and then in some cities, for example, like take a city like Nashville, for example, who has a culinary scene that's you know, it's very up and coming. It's no New York, and
right.
It's no New Orleans, but it's definitely getting there. So now, if I can take a chef from one of the most popular restaurants in New York City and fly him down and put him and have him host an event.
Oh, that's wonderful.
It's something you really can't have access to. So it really, you know, having that element of surprise is definitely very intriguing.
Well, I love that. Well, experiment with your food while we take a quick break. I'm Kid Chef Eliana, and you're listening to Cool Kids Cook on Voice America Kids.
What do you want to do? Are you interested in the performing arts? If so, make sure you tune in to the Angel and Harmony Show. Angel and Harmony have experience singing, acting, and performing in general, and want to help you live out your dreams of the future. Whether you are interested in acting, modeling, dancing, or singing, this is the show for you. We'll even give you the scoop on being behind the scenes if you're a little shy. The Angel and Harmony Show is heard live every Thursday at noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Kids channel.
We don't care how you got here. We're just glad you showed up. You're listening to Voice America Kids.
Looking for an on-air community where teens talk and the world listens? Tune in to Express Yourself, an entertaining adolescent fusion radio program where passion and possibility populate the airwaves. Our vivacious teen hosts and star-studded field reporters from around the country offer stimulating segments and invigorating viewpoints connecting with the world campus of young people. We'll talk with cool celebrities, exhilarating experts, and tenacious teens with experience. Tuesdays at noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Kids. Express yourself. This is Cool Kids Cook on Voice America Kids. Be sure to check out Eliana's webpage at kidchefeliana.com or follow her Facebook and Twitter pages by clicking the links on her show page. Now, back to Cool Kids Cook.
Welcome back to Cool Kids Cook on Voice America Kids. I'm Kid Chef Eliana. Let's continue our interview with Brian Bordanik and Paco Robert of Zinder Lab. Now, I understand that there's a big prize at the end of the Dinner Lab Chef's Tour you're starting. Can you tell our listeners all about it, Mr. Brian?
Sure. The idea is that what we've discovered is that no one really knows what people in any city actually want to eat. So we're giving our chefs the opportunity to cook in every city that we operate, and we're going to take our top performing chefs and open a restaurant based entirely off of data in one of our 10 cities at the end of this. So at the end of 10 weeks, one of our chefs will begin the process of opening a restaurant somewhere in the country. So it's pretty exciting.
Wow, that's really cool. So you get to, all these chefs get to go to all these different cities and showcase their style of food, the things that they cook, and, you know, the people that, you know, love their food the most, you know, the chef that has the food that's most loved, they get that restaurant that they might not have, and they get to showcase their food at a restaurant, everybody gets to eat at it, and I think that's really awesome.
We're pretty excited about it as well.
Yeah, I bet all the chefs are too.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, let's find out more about you personally, Mr. Paco. What's your favorite dish to cook, and what's your favorite dish to eat?
My favorite dish to cook is any type of beans. It's something that takes a long time to do right. One of my favorites is chickpeas and pigtails. So one of my favorite dishes to make is one that my grandmother makes every Christmas Eve. And it involves pigtails, which everybody either loves or hates, and if they hate it, I get to eat more of it, so it's a double-edged sword. And then, so that's the dish, my favorite dish to make. My favorite dish to eat, spent a lot of time in Vietnam a few years back, so really seeing anything Vietnamese flavor is something that I really enjoy. Very fresh, citrusy. I had to pick a particular dish. I don't know.
I bet it's really hard because, you know, you have so many dishes that you love.
Yeah, no, from that area, I actually, grilled goat. There's in Vietnam, the restaurants, unlike the U.S. or actually many places, the restaurants specialize in what, so they specialize in a certain protein. So you go to the goat restaurant, or you go to the chicken restaurant, or you go to the duck restaurant. Uh-huh. And then they make dishes all out of those certain proteins. So I personally enjoyed always going to the goat restaurant, and usually they set up like a little barbecue, a little mini barbecue on your table, and you get to grill the goat right there in front of you, all the different parts. So I would say that.
Oh, wow, that's really cool. I didn't know that, and I love Vietnamese food as well. I love making all things Asian. I love making pho and you know, spring rolls and all those. I love that. So, yeah, Vietnamese is delicious. Now, Mr. Brian, can you share with our listeners your funniest or most delicious food memory?
Sure. I would say one of my funniest food memories would definitely have to be the first Dinner Lab event that we cooked. We didn't have enough money at the time to have, like, U-Haul, so we packed all of our equipment into basically the back of our cars. And actually, before the event started, our chief technology officer was cooking the meal, and he was trying to transport a dish of palak paneer, and he dropped it, and it spilled, like, all over my head. And we had to sort of go back through and then recreate the dish before the diners arrived. So that was something that, at the time, was not very funny, but looking back on it, certainly a little bit humorous. But I would say growing up, my most precious food memories were always, I grew up around a lot of Italian people, and was very fortunate to have, Christmas dinner with a lot of them and seven fishes. And that was always just like a really special time. And you had large extended families coming together, and I can't pinpoint one over the other, but that was always just like a really amazing, fun time where you kind of felt like you were a part of something a little bit bigger.
Right. Yeah, I love having family gatherings. I love, you know, all the holiday events and birthdays and Thanksgiving and all those, where you all get together and we all cook dishes and we all sit down and have a great time. Those are the best. And, you know, sometimes there's always that, like, one or two disastrous food memories that we all have. Now, let's talk about unusual foods. What is the most unusual food you've ever eaten? Is there a food you would never eat again, Mr. Paco?
Well, I guess I'll take you back to Vietnam. I lived there for a year and a half. So there I had, on Thanksgiving, my first Thanksgiving in Vietnam, everybody here in the U.S., my family and friends, were eating turkey, and I decided that since I couldn't have turkey, that I would have another Vietnamese delight, which is cobra. And like I told you, there is a cobra restaurant you go to, and you go, and there's a giant cage full of live cobras.
Oh.
And a gentleman walks in there, the chef of the restaurant walks in, you pick your cobra, he comes, and then he prepares a meal of 7 to 8 different courses, all made with cobra, the cobra skin, the bones, actually cartilage, the meat, and then so that was really enjoyable. I would have it again though. It was really tasty. I'm trying to think of something I would never have again, and I don't know. I think I'd try everything more than once.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there's always things that you can try again, and like, so, I mean, there's always something new you can eat, and, you know, I've never had cobra. I mean, you say it tasted really good, but, you know, it was also it was fresh. Like, you picked it right then and there, and then he just prepared it. It's not like it was, like, sitting in a freezer, and then he just warmed it up. It was totally fresh and delicious. So that
it was fresh.
Right. Right. But, yeah, that's something definitely very unusual. You know, not a lot of people would probably say, oh, I ate cobra. Right. Right. Now, when you're not busy with the Dinner Lab, what's your favorite pastime, Mr. Brian?
I used to be a lot more exciting when I was a little bit younger, but I would say one of my favorite things to do is to pick up the Sunday Times and read it cover to cover. So whenever I'm fortunate enough to have a couple hours to do that, it's something I really, really enjoy. I wish I had a cooler pastime, but reading the Sunday paper is actually it.
Well, sometimes your favorite ones are the ones that are like really relaxing, and where you just get to chill because you know you can just be so busy and all worked up, and then you get that time to relax. You're just like, I don't really want to do anything. I just want to, you know, have some R&R and just read the paper, read a book or whatever, watch TV. You know, sometimes those can be the best.
I agree.
Right. Now, what advice do you have for kids who have a dream, Mr. Brian? Or yes.
I think, one of the things that, we certainly saw when we were trying to get our company off the ground was that what we were trying to do was a little bit different. And a lot of people told us that, what we wanted to do wasn't possible. And we sort of just ignored them and tried to figure it out. So I think the biggest advice that I would give for any young person that is aspiring to do something is just to try. The worst thing that'll happen is that you'll fail. And we certainly have
Right.
done a lot of that ourselves.
Practice makes perfect. Now, lastly, here's a wacky off-the-wall food question I ask all of my show guests. If you could be any food, what would you be and why, Mr. Paco?
If I could be any food, what would I be? I would be a chicken wing. I'd be a chicken wing because, A, and when I'm alive, I could fly. And once I'm cooked, I'm very versatile to cook, and it's usually cooked in a very festive environment. You always have wings when you're at a barbecue, or you always have wings for a football game. It's always a
Right.
dish that's shared amongst many people and cooked in
Exactly.
many different flavors, yeah.
Yeah, right. It is versatile. I love that. You'd be a chicken wing. Well, thank you so much for being guests on Cool Kids Cook.
Thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome. It's my pleasure. You've shown us that becoming a visionary takes a little experimentation, and that building a unique company requires plating outside the kitchen. If you want to find out more about Brian Bordanik and Paco Robert and their company, Dinner Lab, visit kidschefeliana.com for all the links. Dine under the stars while we head to a break. I'm Kid Chef Eliana, and you're listening to Cool Kids Cook on Voice America Kids.
Have you heard your 15 minutes of fame? How about four times that every single week? It's the Fame Game. Listen as Maddie Rose, who is up and coming in the world of fame, brings you fame from all walks of life. You'll hear from doctors, teachers, mentors, life heroes, as well as those in the fields of acting, movies, music, and more. Who knows? You might be the next one Maddie Rose talks to on the air. Listen for the Fame Game every Wednesday at 5 p.m. Pacific Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Kids Channel.
Sometimes we may sound strange, but remember, we're just kids with opinions. You're listening to Voice America Kids.
Have we got a show that will keep you on the pulse of the fashion world? Our hosts are two teens who know fashion, and they have the inside look when it comes to fashion for our generation. Tune in to Fashion Forward on Voice America Kids. We'll discuss what's hot and what's not, the latest in fashion trends, things to look for on the horizon, and more. Fashion Forward is your weekly guide to what to wear today, tonight, this weekend, and this season. Tune in every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, for Fashion Forward on the Voice America Kids channel.
Do you think that you can't change the political system in our country? Well, one host is doing that and started at age 13. Join Connor Brantley for Hello, the Future is Calling. Our show takes an inside look at what's going on in national, state, and local government from a new and very unique perspective. Connor holds our elected officials accountable and will bring you an unbiased look at what's really going on. Listen for Hello, the Future is Calling every Friday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, 1 p.m. Pacific Time on Voice America Kids. Help make a difference.
We didn't invent Kid Talk. We perfected it. And at a very young age, you're listening to Voice America Kids.
Looking for a show about your favorite movies, stars, and DVD releases? Get ready for Kids First Coming Attractions on the Voice America Kids channel. Your hosts, all eight of them, have been selected by Kids First as film critics through a national competition. Each week, they will preview new movies before you see them, walk the red carpet with the stars, and will review the latest DVDs. Our hosts range from ages 7 to 14 to give you a wider kids' perspective. Kids First Coming Attractions is heard every Tuesday at 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific on Voice America Kids. This is Cool Kids Cook on Voice America Kids. Be sure to check out Eliana's webpage at kidchefeliana.com or follow her Facebook and Twitter pages by clicking the links on her show page. Now, back to Cool Kids Cook.
Welcome back. I'm Kid Chef Eliana, and it's Cool Kids Cook on Voice America Kids. It's time for a tisket, a tasket, what's inside my basket. Today's secret ingredient is plums. Let's talk about plums. There are over 2,000 varieties of plums, but only 200 species are grown in the United States. Plums are closely related to apricots, nectarines, and peaches. Plums are a stone or pit fruit that come from the genus Prunus. Dried plums are known as prunes. Prunes are widely known for their laxative effect. You don't want to eat too many of them. Japanese plums actually originated in China and were, in fact, only introduced to Japan about 200 years ago. Here is a recipe for my sweet and spicy plum sauce. I love that this plum sauce is sweet at first, and then there's a little kick when you swallow. Ingredients. 1 plum pitted and quartered, 1 tablespoon of soy sauce, 1 tablespoon of sesame oil, 1 teaspoon of sriracha, 1 tablespoon of your favorite fruit preserve. Directions. Blend all ingredients together in the food processor. You can find all of these recipes on my website, kidchefeliana.com. If you have a secret ingredient you'd like me to talk about, you can email me at eliana@kidchefeliana.com or call my U.S. toll-free number, 888-721-5915. Leave me your first name, where you're calling from, and your question. Maybe your suggestion will air on a future episode. It's time for foodie news. I will give you an update on new food trends, cool cooking info, and the occasional strange food story. Are you the next young chef prodigy? The Rachel vs. Guy Kids Cook-Off Battle is back! The Season 2 show is casting young chefs between the ages of 8 and 13 who cook better than most adults. The deadline is April 14, 2014. To apply, visit Rachel, R-A-C-H-A-E-L, V-S, Guy, kidscasting.com. Can you imagine placing an order with the holographic waiter at a restaurant? According to Eater, a Japanese technology company has imagined just that for our future. Using your smartphone, you can place the order and a holographic waiter suggests a menu. But who delivers the food? A robot? Can this really be our future? MTV is premiering a new food show called House of Food. It's billed as Top Chef Meets Real World. Several amateur cooks live together in one house and work under professional chefs to compete for an apprenticeship with a famous Los Angeles chef. The show has already received lukewarm reviews, with one critic calling it a recipe for indigestion. And that's this week's foodie news. Hey, kid foodies, I'd love to hear from you. Tweet me. I'm at Kid Jeff Eliana. Send me your questions and ideas, and we'll connect. I'm also Eliana Cook's fan page on Facebook. On Instagram and Pinterest, I'm Kid Chef Eliana. So, you know where to find me. You're listening to Cool Kids Cook on the Voice America Kids Network. This is Kid Chef Eliana, and it's time for The Cookbook Shelf. And in this segment, I'll review the latest cookbooks and share it with you. Today's Cookbook Shelf features The Soup Bible, edited by Deborah Mayhew. With over 200 soup recipes from across the globe, the Soup Bible covers all regions of the world, from a Caribbean vegetable soup to classic New Orleans gumbo to the Italian vegetable soup. This book really delves into the world's hot and chilled soup traditions. You can find everything from vegetarian and vegan soups to bisques loaded with seafood. Beautiful food styling and photography make all the dishes look so appetizing. I love that the book also has a one-pot soup section. There's like spicy tomato and cilantro soup, creamy corn soup, carrot and coriander soup. There's carrot soup with ginger, pork and noodle broth with shrimp. There's a fresh tomato and bean soup. They have Caribbean vegetable soup, and red pepper soup with lime, butternut squash bisque, green herb gumbo. There's beef and herb soup with yogurt and hot and sour soup, Hungarian sour cherry soup, apple soup. There's just all different kinds of soups in here. And I love the food photography, and it just looks so delicious. Seafood wonton soup, they all look yummy. I love that. Well, this past weekend, one of my best friends, Caroline, spent the night at my house, and we decided to, well, we were actually planning to make pizza, but then we decided to go out and eat sushi because she never had sushi. And I said, "What? You never had sushi?" And she's like, no, I haven't. I was like, okay, we definitely have to go get sushi. So we went to our favorite sushi restaurant, and our Japanese restaurant, and we ordered sushi. She's like, "I don't know what to get." So we said, "That's okay. We're going to order it, and you're just going to eat it." She's like, "Okay." So we ordered tofu, because she'd never had that. She'd never had anything we ate at the table. So she ate tofu. She also ate edamame, and then we ordered spicy tuna rolls, salmon and a smoked salmon and avocado roll, and Philadelphia roll, and then we also, I think we had, I don't know, we had something else, but it was like really good. And she was like, "Oh my gosh, I love this. It's so delicious." And I was like, "I told you. See, I told you. You should eat sushi. It's so good." So that was really fun. And then the next day, I had a quiz bowl competition. And quiz bowl is like trivia, and they have like random questions, and we compete in different tournaments. So I was actually the captain of the team. And my school, the different schools compete against each other. So we have a team of four and another team of four. And they ask the question, and first person who raises their hand answers the question. And if they get it right, they get points for their team. And if they don't, they don't get penalized. We went through two rounds of losing, which that kind of sucked. But then we went to the third round, and we actually won. I was like, "Yes, we won." And we won against our West Bank team. So we were like, "Yeah, now we're the best on the West Bank." we only won one out of four, which is not that great. But all in all, we had so much fun. So that's what really mattered. It was still fun. So we loved that. Then that same night, well, that night we actually went to the wedding in Denham Springs, Louisiana, and we were using Siri on my mom's iPhone to get directions because the wedding was like in the middle of nowhere. We didn't really know where it was, so we just used Siri, like we trust Siri, and Siri's like, "Oh, your destination is on the left," and we're like, that's a truck stop. I don't think that's where the wedding is. And so we drove down a little bit. We're like, my mom said, hey, look, there's a limo there. You think that's the wedding? My dad said, that's a trailer park. I don't think they would have a wedding there. And my mom's like, okay, let's just keep driving. So we're looking at all the addresses on the buildings. We're like, where is it? And then we finally found it. We're like, oh, yeah, that's the wedding. So, but before we actually even got to the road where the wedding was, Siri took us down into the country roads and got us lost for 30 minutes. So, yeah, we were 30 minutes late to the wedding, but that was okay because we got there just in time for the I do's and the kiss, and then they had the reception afterwards. So it was beautiful, and it had the theme was sunflowers. Everything was yellow, and I loved that. And then on Sunday, we went. My mom and I went to DJ McHale's author signing at Octavia Books. We had so much fun there. We got to chat with him. He talked all about his books, and I got to give him one of my cookbooks. We had such a great time. He said, next time I come back to New Orleans, we'll definitely have to eat dinner at your house. And I said, okay, definitely. Well, fill up your bowl with soup while we head to a break. I'm Kid Chef Eliana, and you're listening to Cool Kids Cook on Voice America Kids.
Bookworm is a show for the reader and those that should probably be reading a little more. We'll tackle the classics, the bestsellers, and the brand new works that you won't be able to put down. Your host will be combing the pages of them all and letting you know what needs to be in your personal library and what might be better reading for the bathroom. Tune into Bookworm, airing Thursdays at 3 p.m. Pacific Time and 6 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Kids channel. We promise that listening will be just like delving into a good book.
You're listening to Voice America Kids, now with 33% more active ingredients and no artificial coloring.
What about the world concerns you? Is it future success? Is it world issues? Are you just looking to change the world in general? Tune in to What Up World? It doesn't matter who you are, where you come from, or what you look like. Everyone is entitled to the same chance for success. Follow your dreams. Move forward. Make a difference. Tune into What Up World every Friday at 2 p.m. Pacific Time, 5 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Kids channel.
This is Cool Kids Cook on Voice America Kids. Be sure to check out Eliana's webpage at kidchefeliana.com or follow her Facebook and Twitter pages by clicking the links on her show page. Now, back to Cool Kids Cook.
Welcome back to Cool Kids Cook on Voice America Kids. I'm Kid Chef Eliana, and it's time for Figure Out This Food. I have a game on my Facebook page called Figure Out This Food. I post a close-up of a food item, and the first three guesses get a shout-out here. Congratulations to Joel Teague, Tony Caparis, and Carol A. Jordan for guessing squid, or calamari. Let's talk about squid. Squids are cephalopods, like octopuses. But squids have 8 arms and 2 tentacles, making them decapods. Some squids can swim up to 25 miles per hour. That's as fast as some sharks, but they can only sustain it in short bursts. There are more than 300 known species of squid out there that have been identified. They fall into one of 2 categories, Myopsida and Agopsida. Squid can be found both in freshwater and saltwater. When a squid feels that it's in danger, it releases a cloud of ink. This ink contains dopamine, which causes euphoria in humans. Anyone up for some squidding soup? The colossal squid is the world's largest known squid. It lives in very cold, deep waters. It grows up to 35 feet in length and can weigh 1,000 pounds. Because it lives so deep, it is often difficult to view it in its natural habitat. It's snacktivity time! Here, I give you fun, easy-breezy snack ideas. Today's snacktivity is dried strawberries. Make this over the weekend as a fun snack for the family. Ingredients: 12 ripe strawberries, tops cut off. Directions: preheat the oven to 210 degrees. place strawberries on a baking sheet. Bake for 4 hours, turning them over once at the 2-hour mark until strawberries are dehydrated. They make a great snack for lunch or after school. Hey, young chefs, you're listening to the Voice America Kids Network. This is Kid Chef Eliana, and it's time for Creative Cuisine. This is my recipe for Asian chicken meatballs. I made these for dinner one night, and they were amazing. They're moist and crispy. Ingredients: 2 large chicken breasts cut into chunks, 1/2 a yellow onion cut into chunks, 1 egg, 3 stalks green onions chopped, 3 cloves of garlic, 1 tablespoon of sesame oil, 1 tablespoon of soy sauce, 1 tablespoon of onion powder, 1 tablespoon of garlic powder, 1 teaspoon of sea salt, 2 cups of panko breadcrumbs, and 2 cups of vegetable oil. Directions: blend all ingredients except panko and vegetable oil in a food processor until smooth. Place in a bowl and mix in panko. Roll into gulp-sized balls. Heat oil in a wok. Place meatballs in hot oil and fry until brown on all sides. Hey, young chefs, it's time for Cookin' Crafts. Here's a fun kitchen-related craft. Today's Cookin' Craft is how to make a drinking straw flute. Supplies: 16 drinking straws, scissors, tape. Instructions: Step 1. Cut the straws into 8 different cascading lengths. Every 2 straws will be cut to the same length. When you put the straws together, it will look like a staircase. Step 2. Fasten the straws together with tape to look like a flute. The straws should be taped together from tallest to shortest in a stair-step formation. Step 3. Now blow and make music. The instructions along with photos are on my website for this week's episode on KidChefEliana.com. Don't forget to connect with me on Twitter and Facebook. I'm at KidChefEliana on Twitter and Eliana Cooks fan page on Facebook. Be sure to hit that like button. I like you, and I hope you like me too. If you're listening to the show on iTunes, be sure to subscribe, rate, and review the show. The more young chefs we can reach. And remember, my latest Parents' Choice Approved award-winning cookbook, Cool Kids Cook Louisiana, and my new cookbook, Cool Kids Cook Fresh and Fit, are available at any online book retailer. So this, last night I was at a dinner lab, and it was my very first dinner lab. And I didn't really know what to expect or where we were going. I was just like, I don't really know, but I'm going to go. And I was really excited. I was like, I wonder what it's going to be like. Where is it going to be? And so we were just going down the street. We're like, oh my gosh, where are we going? Are we sure this is the right place? And then we're like, that's the right place. So we parked and we walked into a warehouse, and it ended up, because it says it's always in, you know, a different location. It could be anywhere. And so we walked into the warehouse, and it was full of this different sculptures that were really colorful for Mardi Gras floats. So that was wonderful. So we checked in, and then we were seated. And then right after we were seated, we actually went to go meet the chefs. So we got to meet Chef Brett Duffy, who was the chef that was cooking for us. It was his menu that he created. And then we also got to meet Chef Brent, who was helping out, and they had a bunch of different chefs helping to prepare the food and cook it, and most of the things they prepared on site, and they cooked it right then and there. So it was, the dinner lab that we went to was the first seating at 7 o'clock. So we got there, and I took pictures with them, and I was just, you know, observing them, talking to the chefs, and then we, after a little while, we sat down, and we talked to people that were sitting at our table, we got to talk to lots of different people, and then we actually Chef Brett, he talked a little bit about the menu, and then they serviced our first course. So, you know, we had crab chawanmushi, which is a custard But this one was made with crab, and it had crispy dried shrimp with soft herbs. So I was eating it. I was like, oh my gosh, this is really good. And then we had the feedback card. We would score the dishes on taste, creativity, and some of the dishes had drinks paired with them too. Then for the second course, which is my mom and I's favorite course, I would eat it like every day. It was larded tuna, which is with smoked fatback, with eggplant andouille, and andouille is like kind of like it's like a spicy spread, and it can be made with usually smoked sausage, but this one is with eggplant. And he had like a pistachio gravy, and then they had fried artichoke. Oh my gosh, that one was so good. If it wasn't rude, I would have licked the plate. That's how good it was. Then for the third course, we had smoked ricotta agnolotti with duck brodo and herbs de Provence and petit pois. And agnolotti is type of pasta. It's kind of like really long ravioli, and it had ricotta inside. That was really delicious. And then we had for the fourth course, we had sous vide tri-tip with escargot, stuffed brandied onion, and hazelnut persillade. That was really good. I loved the escargot. I never had escargot before, so I really loved that escargot. That was delicious. Then for the fifth and final course, we had warm taleggio with stewed apricots, green olive on biscotti. And taleggio is actually cheese. So they had like warm, kind of melty cheese on top of the biscotti with the green olive and the stewed apricots. So that was really, really delicious. I love how it was like sweet and a little bit of salt with the green olive. And then they after the first seating, they have a second seating come in, and they actually told me to go help them with the second plate for the second seating. So I got to help plate the second course, place the fried artichoke on the plate with tweezers. That was so fun. And then I got to sprinkle the herbs de Provence throughout the third course on the agnolotti. Then I got to like watch them cut up the tri-tip and place the escargot stuff. Brandy, escargot is actually snail, if you didn't know. And I got so I just got to watch the rest of it, but I did get to help throughout all the other stuff. So that was really awesome, and I posted everything on like Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, everything, and like all of the courses, and I got to take a picture with the whole team. That was just so much fun, and I loved everyone there. I would definitely go back again. Well, that's all for this week. I leave you with this quote from Robert Louis Stevenson: "What lies behind you and what lies in front of you pales in comparison to what lies inside you." Thanks so much for joining me. I'm Kid Chef Eliana with Cool Kids Cook. This show is produced by KidStar on Voice America Kids. Up next, a track from the KidStar album of the month. Bon appetit. I'll see you next week.
It's time to turn off the oven and close the refrigerator for this week. But be sure to join Kid Chef Eliana for another edition of Cool Kids Cook next Monday at 4 p.m. Pacific Time and 7 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Kids channel. Have a delicious week and keep cooking.
Cindy Marie from Phoenix, Arizona, and host of Bookworm. The KidStar album of the month this month is Back in School, Neil Brewer and Friends. Let's listen to My Back is Broken.
My back is broken, but I feel fine. I might need surgery, but my friend, I feel perfectly divine. If you were to ask, how is it such a thing could be? Well, I guess I'd have to answer that nobody else is me. My shoulders hurt, and when I lift my arms, I feel the sharpest pain. That brings such joy to me, and so you think the boy must be insane. If you want to know the secret why my back is in a crook, it's that ever since that we met, I've been packing Linda's books. And I cannot wait to to slip a disc tomorrow round about 3:15.
The KidStar Album of the Month is Back in School by Neil Brewer and Friends. All musical proceeds Neil Brewer and Friends received are donated to the Harvard Stem Cell Institute to put an end to muscular dystrophy. For more information, go to the KidStar website, www.kidstar.org.